WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away the Show Me $10,000 tickets, 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries in 31 days, beginning next Monday. We're going to have a lot of Oriole baseball to keep up with, along with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. I'll be watching Oriole baseball, and to tell you what, this guy's been watching the Rays. He's had a much better version of baseball the last couple of years. It has been a couple of years since we caught up with Neil Solons from the Rays Radio Network. He does a pre, post-game, in-game, at-a-game. I saw the Orioles playing down there after the All-Star break about a week ago, and I thought, I'm going to start having some more baseball guests on. Neil, welcome back. The Orioles are relevant. I'm calling you again. I'm glad you haven't forgotten about me. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Great to chat with you, Nestor. And look, Baltimore has put themselves in a much better position, probably from my end, for two big reasons. One, I think they catch the ball extremely well. I think it's the biggest difference between what I've seen the last several years and this year. And then two, they have a much better bullpen. And a bullpen, you know, I think in previous years, the Rays were, 18-1 against Baltimore last year. And you look at most of those games, they were kind of the same. They'd be close for five or six innings, and then either the Rays would catch up, or they, because they were be able to beat up on the Baltimore bullpen, you know, the game would get away. And then on the flip side, now Baltimore's bullpen keeps them in all games. I think it allows the offensive players to be much more confident. And most of the games the Rays have played with the O's have been one or two runs.
Well, when you lose 18-19, right, and we talk about unbalanced schedule coming next year and all that, I don't know that anybody here thought the big bad Tampa Rays would be the problem. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees in the division historically. But 4.5 years ago, the Orioles, 5 years ago, busted up. They make the trades, Machado. They bring in Mike Elias. When you're sitting on the outside, you've been on the inside of this now for going on 20 years, 15 years. This has been going on where you are, where they played this style of baseball, fighting against the big bad Red Sox and Yankees, letting the Carl Crawfords go and letting Boston pay them or somebody else pay them, eventually letting their manager go and Joe Maddon on to his, he'll be on to his third gig if he takes another gig at some point. But the Rays still percolate and it's still there. And I'm not going to bother you with the fans or who comes or who doesn't come, but the actual structure of the baseball franchise and the way you put together a franchise that can be competitive on a tighter budget, doing it through the draft, doing it sort of the modern way, for what the Orioles have done here, this probably doesn't shock an inside baseball guy like you, saying, well, if you do it this way, eventually you'll have some success. But I think the Orioles have come along a little bit early in this, and certainly that winning streak a couple of weeks ago has sort of awakened the baseball world to, hey, the Orioles are here. They're sort of acting like the Rays lately, right?
I definitely think there can be some correlations. I think that, you know, the things that stand out, you know, are the way they are playing. They're doing it with pitching and defense first, and that gives you the best chance. You know, I think on the market, it's probably the easiest way to compete. It gives you the best chance to compete in the short and the long term. And that's why the Rays have had the sustained success. You know, I think probably the big next step for Baltimore, and I think their starting pitching has been good, but I think having, let's say, you know, a couple of guys at the front of the rotation, and obviously Grayson Rodriguez's injury kind of curtails that a little bit. John Means' injury kind of curtails that a little bit. They're still waiting on DL Hall. But I think those are probably the next pieces that will allow them to get in even a much better position going forward so that they can compete with the top of the division rather than being around the 500 area.
I think I was at the very first workout, you know, when Cash took over the team. I was, my mother-in-law lives down near Port Charlotte. Rick Vaughn was still running the Rays. Joe Maddon had just left. You know, I think I was, it was like it wasn't even a team organized activity. And I was part of Cash's first press conference, believe it or not. All I remember is the sign said, stay away from the alligators out in front of the ballpark. And I thought, I'm gonna take that advice. But from that moment forward, for what the Rays have been trying to do and win a championship in sort of a second generation, run me through the last 5 years. I mean, it's been a couple of years since you and I've gotten together. The Rays do it quietly because they're not the Yankees, but there really is something to the structure of what they've done there that places like here are always trying to emulate, including having a manager go through some tough times. And at this point, it looks like Brandon Hyde may actually survive this before it's all over with.
Yeah, you know, I think that when Kevin came on board, the farm system was not where it is right now, where the, you know, the minor league affiliates, I think, have the best record in baseball right now for a second straight year. They didn't have that depth of the system. So they had to make some tough trades, and probably in contrast to what Baltimore did, where they kind of bottomed out, like, let's say, Houston or the Cubs. The Rays kind of did it from like 14 to 17, where they did it while also staying competitive. I think 3 of the 4 years they won close to 80 games. That's hard to do while you're also rebuilding and a small market club. And if things
around here, they told us we had to really, really stink to get the 1-1.
and look, that's great. Everyone does it a different way. And look, you get great players like, you know, Rutschman, and you see the other kids that are on the come that, you know, that they also drafted. It's going to give them, you know, some really high-end talent in the long term. But the Rays did it while making trades, I think, through three buckets. International, where they've gotten guys like Wander Franco and some of the other young players. The domestic draft, you know, in the States. And then also they've done a really good job on the trade market. And I think they have to. I think, you know, when you talk about having to do it differently, I think when you're the Yankees or the Red Sox or even the Blue Jays, you can take a player, you can take many players all the way to free agency, or you can sign those players long term. When you have top end talent, there comes a point where you have to decide, if you're a team on a lower budget, how do we replace that talent? If you just let them go all the way to free agency, well, then you're looking down the road and you don't have a comparable player. You know, that's why
With Machado. We got nothing. Yes. We got nothing. Really?
And you know, like, people question something like, you trade a Joey Wendell because you have a Taylor Walls who you believe can be, you know, a top-end utility player. You trade an Austin Meadows because you believe Josh Lowe, who struggled this year to this point, is going to eventually evolve. And I think you have to make a lot of tough decisions because you have to have almost like a funnel of players always on the come. And I think that's probably the greatest challenge, and it's what the Rays are really good at. I think they're good at evaluating players, and I think they're good at finding guys that fit their system. And that to me allows for the longest term success. Look, it begins with starting pitching. You know, having a guy at the top of your rotation like a Shane McClanahan, who grew up in Baltimore before coming down to the Florida area, allows the Rays to do things as they do, because they have someone that, even with the injury to Tyler Glasnow this year, as he comes back from Tommy John, they still have someone to front their rotation.
Neil Solons does all things Rays baseball. We got four more with the Rays. Hopefully they're not going to beat us up the way they had been beating us up last year. Certainly Camden Yards, a lot more fans coming back down. The breath of fresh air for Adley Rutschman and for this team, and for them to turn around and go on a winning streak. Nobody's having a career year here, right? This Mullins last year, what he did. Hayes was okay. He sort of cooled off a little bit. Even Rutschman, you know, it's not like he's hitting 400 out of the gate. The last 6 weeks been very good. First 2 or 3 weeks, not so much. But the Orioles are doing this, having this prosperity without Means, without Rodriguez, without DL Hall. It sort of should make everyone in the division sort of sit up a little bit, right? I mean, you've taken note, and certainly this week would tell a lot. Coming down to Tampa last weekend, looked like a different team than the one you saw in April.
Definitely. And we saw that the first two trips to Baltimore, where the Rays lost 2 out of 3. Every game was 1 or 2 runs. You know, the Rays have had a tough time in Baltimore this year, as contrast to, let's say, last year. You know, I think that the one thing that Baltimore has had, while they haven't had career years, aside from those starting pitching injuries you mentioned, everybody else has been relatively healthy. I mean, they haven't, like, for instance, the Rays lead the American League in IL stints right now and players on the injured list. And I think they have 5 position players in the IL. Generally, Baltimore's core lineup has been healthy all year long. You know, once they got Rutschman, Santander has been healthy. Hayes has been on the field. Mountcastle has been on the field. So they were able to kind of settle in. And same with the bullpen. You know, Lopez, Bautista, you know, that whole core group, Perez, they've all been very, very good. And they've been able to stay on the field. And I think, you know, yes, they've had a couple core injuries. Means, obviously, I think the most important, because the expectations were probably highest for him. But when all of your position players are on the field and you're not forced to play guys or overplay them, I think it allows you to be successful. And I'm kind of curious, as time goes on, how Baltimore builds that depth, because last year when the Rays won 100 games, none of their position players by and large were hurt the whole year. That's not going to happen every year. And I think you have to be prepared every single season to have the depth just in case.
Well, certainly this year looks like nobody's going to catch the Yankees, right? I mean, you guys were pretty good last year. Not that important, right? October, you'll get your chance in a short series figuring that thing out. With the trading deadline this week, do you expect anything happen on your side? I mean, around here, we're talking Santander. We're talking Trey Mancini for a bag of baseballs. I don't know that the Orioles are in a position at this point, especially with the fan base and people coming, to just take Santander and Mancini out of the lineup the next 60 games to say, well, we're going to get a double A pitcher or whatever we're going to get that might help us in 2025. But the trading deadline, I think it's gotten a little bit more murky with the Orioles in it. And certainly catching the Yankees in the regular season, I don't know that that's anybody's goal right now.
No, I don't think it is. And I think what has to be determined is here this year, you add an extra playoff team in each league. So now you've got 12 playoff spots instead of 10. So I think that changes things. You know, I think if you look at the standings, you could argue that 20 of the 30 teams are competing still for a playoff spot. And when you have 20 buyers and only 10 sellers, that makes the market really difficult to add. You know, I think from the Rays perspective, probably the area where I would think that they're going to want to add is pitching. Because they've had so many injuries, a lot of them have been, we've mentioned on the position player side, but they expect some of those players back. On the pitching side, they've had to start Drew Rasmussen and Jeffrey Springs this year. And I think there does come a point where you start to worry about innings limits. So if you can add, let's say, another starting pitcher or a bulk pitcher, as they use, or an extra reliever or two to shorten some of those outings and add more depth, some multi-inning guys, I think that's where they're going to look. I'm just not quite sure how the market is going to play out, because with so many buyers and so few sellers, it may make the price kind of cost prohibitive for a lot of teams, including the Rays.
It's bad enough when a Rays come in here and beat us up last year, but when the Yankees come in, the Yankees are a whole different breed, right? They bring Aaron Judge in. You pitch to him, and he makes you pay. Having guys like that in the lineup, it does feel like the Yankees have really regrouped in this thing, right? Like that just over the next couple of years for all of us, including the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, the Yankees are going to continue to be very, very formidable.
I think so. I think the big thing for me, you know, we talk about health. They're healthy. I mean, they've never had a year since they got Judge and Stanton where both have stayed on the field all season long. And other than a 10-day stretch, those two guys have stayed on the field all day long. And I think what I've seen from them is at times that lineup is susceptible to really good pitching. I'm kind of curious, you know, what they do with the whole Joey Gallo situation. Losing Michael King will hurt the bullpen a bit. You know, I'm curious who and where they decide to add. Look, if they add a Juan Soto, it's a game changer. I think we all agree, because, you know, you can put those top three guys at the top two, three, four in your lineup, and good luck to the rest of the league for trying to compete with that. If not,
I don't know. The Angels thought that with Ohtani and Trout, right? Like, it takes a little more than that, right?
It does, but it also takes a lot of pressure, because a lot of the other guys are good players. You know, Gleyber Torres is a very good player, but if you start moving guys like that down in the lineup to like 6, 7, 8 in the order, it kind of takes the pressure off those guys a little bit instead of having to hit higher. You know, you have LeMahieu, and then if you had Judge, Soto, Stanton, the next five have still been pretty decent players: Trevino, Kiner, Falefa. They've all been solid, and all those guys have to do is worry about getting on base, because if you do that, you're turning the lineup over to those guys. And I think more than the superstar player, I think where the Yankees have gotten better is their defense has been near the top of the league, where the last couple of years it was near the bottom of the league, and it's made their pitching staff look much better.
Neil Solons does all things Rays baseball. The Rays are in town this week. It's always good to catch up. Last thing for you, and I always save it, what's going on with the stadium down there? I mean, we put the TV on last weekend after the All-Star break, and just there were a lot of Orioles fans there. Like, I have a lot of friends that live in St. Pete Beach and have gone down to Florida for the sunshine and all that, including, you know, one of your players making a childhood move down there. But fans coming out and the stadium, and here we talk causeways and all that stuff. Are we closer to the Tampa Rays than the St. Petersburg Rays at some point? Is that ever going to happen?
I think eventually. Well, look, 2027 is the last year for the stadium league. So I think they know there's obviously much more urgency, and there has been, and there's been a lot behind the scenes. Which way it goes, I don't know. You know, I don't stay too close to it. I worry much more about the baseball and the results on the field than I do off the field. It's kind of where I try to keep the focus from I've done that, you know, since I got here. It's my 11th season. I think there are smarter people than me that are going to work and figure it out. And the sooner the better, obviously, because it can be a game changer in terms of payroll. Instead of being where the Rays are payroll wise, at least they can be much more middle of the pack. You know, the Yankees, Red Sox are always going to be at the top with the Dodgers and those sort of teams. But if you can get closer to the middle than the back end, obviously it allows you to maybe keep two more players, let's say long-term, like a Wander Franco. Now you can add a couple of guys to that, and it really changes your long-term outlook in terms of the way you compete.
You know, I've been down to games, and I've been to ALCS games there. I was at game 7 with the Red Sox 15 years ago. Like, oh, and I've come down for football games. We're coming down again. We're going to go see Tom Brady, right? And I remember the Buccaneers were the flavor of the year 20 years ago, and Brad Johnson and Gruden. And then that sort of just, I mean, last time I went to a Buccaneers game there were 8,000 people at the Buccaneers game. There was no one there when the Ravens came in there and beat them up a number of years ago now. But then they won a Super Bowl. Last time I was in Tampa a year and a half ago, all bolts. I was there for Capitals and the Lightning when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. I guess it's 4 years ago now. All bolts. And then you say, well, the Rays have had all this success and people haven't come. But I am of the mindset, I believe that if they were to build a stadium downtown, that the rabidity of sports there and where people are, that people could discover the Rays. And you'd say, well, is there ever going to be a day when there's 25,000 on a Friday night sitting outside near the water watching Rays baseball in a billion-dollar stadium? I can envision that based on what the Lightning and what the Buccaneers have represented when successful there. The one thing that the Rays have never done is played in Tampa.
I definitely think that, you know, it could certainly be successful. I think location has always been talked about as a big issue. You know, I hope we get a chance soon to talk about that. In the meantime, I'm just going to enjoy the fact that this is a really good team. It's going to be a good team for a while. They have a strong young core. And even in the best division, I think, in the sport, they're right in a playoff spot as we speak.
See, you say something that you get to say all the time. We're going to be a good young team for a while. And I think when you've been a good young team for 15 years, you get to say that, right? Like, and that's part of the selling point, is that you're 10 games over 500 again. And you know, maybe people don't notice it there, but everybody, when your team comes in here and beats us 18 out of 19, we don't think of the Rays as the little engine, you know, against the Yankees. They're the team that beats us up, that brings in good baseball players every year. And I know that that's what the Orioles want to be when it's all said and done.
Exactly. You know, I think they'll both do it similarly, but differently. But I think eventually you're going to see, you know, this division is always a bear. You know, I think, forget the toughest division in baseball, I think it's the toughest division in sports. And I'm glad they added an extra playoff team, because I could see several years where you end up with four playoff teams out of five from this division.
Unbalanced, baby. I want more games against the A's and more games against the teams that stink. Neil Solans does all things Rays Radio down in Tampa in the sunshine. Looks like he's sitting out on the Dale Mabry right now somewhere. It's great to visit with you. I'm glad that baseball's relevant again here, where we can talk about such things like pennant races and futures in the middle of July. Stay warm down there. Stay cool down there. And we'll be down there for some football in about 10 weeks or so.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Neil Solans, you can follow him out on Twitter for all things Rays pre and post game. Lots and lots of knowledge about the American League East. Doing a lot of baseball around here this week, bringing it back. The Orioles are back being competitive again. Luke's going to be in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens as we get the Purple Party started. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland, Goodwill, and our friends at Window Nation making it happen around here. Our friends at Conrad's are going to be the first recipient. We're beginning the Crab Cake Tour on the 1st of August at Conrad Seafood Market right here in beautiful Towson. We're going to be making our way all across the state. 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries, 31 days beginning on Monday. In the meantime, Orioles trying to get it done against the Rays all week long. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.